Welcome to First Formation, spiritual exercise for Christian soldiers looking to get the fuck up and pray. Join Pew Pew HQ every weekday morning to hear the good news through grunts and with grunts, in the unity of the Holy Spirit as one church, forever and ever. Fall in. Psalm 32. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away, through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found. Surely in the rush of great waters they shall not reach him. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Be not like a horse or a mule without understanding, which must be curbed with bridle and bit, or it will not stay near you. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. Jeremiah chapter 25, verses 15 through 29. Thus the Lord, the God of Israel, said to me, take from my hand this cup of the wine of wrath, and make all the nations to whom I send you drink it. They shall drink and stagger and be crazed because of the sword that I am sending among them. So I took the cup from the Lord's hand, and I made all the nations to whom the Lord sent me drink it, Jerusalem and the cities of Judah, its kings and officials, to make them a desolation and a waste, a hissing and a curse, as at this day. Pharaoh, king of Egypt, his servants, his officials, all his people, and all the mixed tribes among them, all the kings of the land of Uz, and all the kings of the land of the Philistines, Ashkelon, Gaza, Ekron, and the remnants of Ashdod, Edom, Moab, and the sons of Ammon, all the kings of Tyre, all the kings of Sidon, and the kings of the coastland across the sea, Dedan, Tema, Buz, and all who cut the corners of their hair, all the kings of Arabia, and all the kings of the mixed tribes who dwell in the desert, all the kings of Zimri, all the kings of Elam, and all the kings of Media, all the kings of the north, far and near, one after another, and all the kingdoms of the world that are on the face of the earth. And after them, the king of Babylon shall drink. Then you shall say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, drink, be drunk and vomit, fall and rise no more, because of the sword that I am sending among you. And if they refuse to accept the cup from your hand to drink, then you shall say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, you must drink. For behold, I begin to work disaster at the city that is called by my name. And shall you go unpunished? You shall not go unpunished, for I am summoning a sword against all the inhabitants of the earth, declares the Lord of hosts. Acts chapter 7, verses 44 through 53. Our fathers had the tent of witness in the wilderness, just as he who spoke to Moses directed him to make it, according to the pattern that he had seen. Our fathers in turn brought it in with Joshua when they dispossessed the nations that God drove out before our fathers. So it was until the days of David, who found favor in the sight of God and asked to find a dwelling place for the God of Jacob. But it was Solomon who built a house for him. Yet the Most High does not dwell in houses made by hands. As the prophet says, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. What kind of house will you build for me, says the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Did not my hand make all these things? You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who announced beforehand the coming of the Righteous One, whom you have now betrayed and murdered. You who received the law as delivered by angels and did not keep it. Good morning and welcome to the 11th Tuesday after Pentecost. This is Brother Logan Isaac broadcasting from Laguna Niguel, California. This morning's readings come to us from Psalm 32, Jeremiah 25, and Acts 7. And Acts 7 is Stephen's speech before, I think it's a crowd in Jerusalem before the temple, but I'm not sure. And Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet because he was told to prophesy destruction to Jerusalem. The remaining two tribes, well, three, Benjamin, Judah, and you could say Levi. I feel like there's one more. But anyway, the northern tribes have already been carried away, and the kingdom of Judah had survived another, I think, 150, 200 years. And there were high hopes that maybe they would, you know, build their own society and kind of keep carrying on. But in fact, they were going to be taken over and exiled by Babylon. And Jeremiah is given this task of telling them, look, change your ways or you're fucked. And then when it got real close, he was told, look, tell my people they're fucked. And he didn't want to do that because he was one of God's people. And so when it starts out in this passage about the cup of the wine of wrath, make all the nations to whom I send you drink it. And the nations are Gentiles, the Goyim. And when you hear that as a Jew, you think, okay, whew, I'm safe. I'm not one of the nations. I'm a nationless or stateless person. Because the Goyim literally means the nations, and that also means everything that is non-Jew. And so as soon as someone reads that, they're thinking, oh, whew, dang, we escaped by the skin of our teeth on that one. But then Jeremiah takes the cup from the Lord's hand and makes all the nations, all the Goyim, the Gentiles, to whom the Lord sent me, to send Jeremiah, and they drank it, beginning with Jerusalem and the cities of Judah. Jeremiah is being reminded that there is nothing, even a covenant, that doesn't protect Israel, God's own people, from the wrath of God when they screw up. And that when they do, they cease to be Jews. They're just like everybody else. They are, for all intents and purposes, Goyim, right? The Gentiles. All the nations who drank the Goyim, the Gentiles, it begins with Jerusalem and the cities of Judah. And this lists all the others saying, look, you're no different. And it's a hard word that Jeremiah is told to preach. And he's called the weeping prophet because he didn't, you know, it's basically Jonah, but in real life. Jonah was a parable, a long, you know, fictitious tale, a moralizing story. And there's reason to believe that Jonah is based off the events of Jeremiah, right? He is told, Jonah. For a moment there, I had in my head Job. Jonah's told to go and preach destruction to the enemies of God, and he doesn't like it, right, when they don't repent. And it's this inversion of Jeremiah's story. Israel, the kingdom of Judah, was proud. You know, they were the remaining tribes, the saving remnant, the lineage of David. And rather than, you know, being humble with their confidence or their power, or their chosen status, they were arrogant. And they wanted to believe that they were above the law of God and better. You know, they wanted to believe there were two standards. And Jeremiah tells them, no, don't resist God's wrath for doing these things, and they do. And he then weeps as his own people are destroyed. And the reading is coupled with this passage taken out of Stephen's speech to the mob that's about to kill him. And he kind of gives this summary, a recapitulation of the story of Israel. There's a transition when he has this story, and then he ends with quoting the prophet. I'm not sure which one, but, you know, heaven is my throne, there is my footstool. And that stops the summary and the retelling of the story of Israel. And Stephen then continues to call the people there with him. And he is a Jew, who had been tasked with mediating disputes between the Hellenistic Jews, the Greek-speaking and Greek-influenced Jews, on the one hand, and then the Hebrew-speaking and Hebrew-influenced Jews on the other. The apostles were kind of like too busy to manage the actual community, and so they elect deacons to help out, and Stephen is one of them. And immediately, he enters into this, you know, debate, conflict, and he is eventually killed. And he calls his own people. Now, this is before there's any like real hard and fast split between Jew and Christian, at least as the story is being told. Now, when Luke is writing his gospel, it's probably, there is a greater split. The destruction of the temple made a hard and fast split between the old way of Hebraic Judaism, which required sacrifices and atonement and the temple and the tabernacle, and the new form of Judaism that took its example as Jesus, from Jesus of Nazareth, Joshua Aponazara, as I said recently in a Substack. And so Stephen is talking to his own people and saying, "You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in the one way it matters, in your heart. Yeah, sure, you might have got snipped at birth, but like your heart isn't circumcised. It's still the same as everybody else. They resist the Holy Spirit and they persecute the prophets. We have just read Jeremiah, who, you know, watches the destruction of his own people. But we're also hearing it from the lips of Stephen, who could be called a prophet in this, you know, kind of very brief excursus, and you know, what he's doing is very prophetic, and they'll kill him, just like they killed those who announced beforehand the coming of the righteous one, speaking of John the Baptist, killed by Herod Antipas, who was very friendly to the Jews and very popular, not like his father, Herod the Great, or Herod the First. Antipas, for many Jews, he's very popular, especially for those who had some means. And so one of the difficult lessons that you have to grapple with as a Christian, and I think as a Jew, is the fact that there are no two standards. There's one standard, that if you think you're going to get treated better just because you think you're on the right team, you're missing the point. Because if you're making teams, if you're carving out sections of creation that you think is on your side and God is one of them, well, you're going to get a little surprised, because God doesn't take sides. If God takes sides, it's against the forces of evil in favor of those who would do good. And he would love for Israel and the people of God to do good, but they don't always. And we see in these two passages that when you don't do the kind of things that God expects you to do, you can't expect God to do the kind of things he told you he would do for you. And so we have to be careful, on guard against tribalism, of thinking that, well, as long as we're all on the same team, as long as we rubber stamp one another's little fucking doohickeys and pat each other on the back, like, no, forget cliques, forget, social stratifications into like little, you know, jackwad groups. Like, sure, feel belonging, but don't feel superior.
A prayer for social justice from the Book of Common Prayer. Grant, O God, that your holy and life-giving spirits may so move every human heart, especially the hearts of the people of this land, that barriers which divide us may crumble, suspicions disappear, and hatreds cease. That our divisions being healed, we may live in justice and peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you for falling into First Formation, where PewPewHQ shares morning prayers for the humble, hardy folk caught in the crosshairs of God and country. If you like what you've heard, you can participate in one of the three following ways. First, you can support the podcast at patreon.com/PewPewHQ. You can contribute as little as a dollar a month, and you can cancel at any time if I ever piss you off. Second, you can become a co-host by recording a lectionary reading for a future episode. Instructions will be provided, and you don't have to be a grunt to collaborate with Pew Pew HQ in this or any way. Finally, you can also record and send prayer requests of a minute or less. Prayers can be included in the episode, read anonymously if you wish, or kept private for me to pray for off-air. So there you have it, three ways to participate in First Formation. I hope you'll continue to listen, even if I can't convince you to jump in. This has been Brother Logan Isaac, always faithful, always family. Semper Familia.